Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 16th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street braces for the next round of big bank earnings.
Facebook's digital currency faces skeptical lawmakers on Capitol Hill.
Big tech heads for an antitrust showdown with Congress.
And the EU braces for $7 billion in U.S. tariffs.
House leaders vote on a resolution to condemn what they call the president's xenophobic tweets. Plus, Con Ed has a reason for Saturday's blackout in Manhattan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, a former Met broke the hearts of Yankees fans three times on Monday night in a home run display for the ages as the East tightens up.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Clients can earn 1.9% on idle cash in their brokerage account. Restrictions apply. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
And U.S. futures are little changed ahead of a big day for bank earnings. It's 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, again, little changed. Dow futures down 13. NASDAQ futures up about 2. The DAX in Germany, little change. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. So is the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.08%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil up about 0.25% or 16 cents at 59. $9.75 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.60 to $14.17.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1232 against the dollar, and the yen 107.91. Nathan.
Well, Karen, like you said, it is a busy day for bank earnings with results from JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo. They all report this morning after mixed results from Citigroup. We get more from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says JP Morgan's net interest margin and underlying trends will be pivotal because of the worsening interest rate environment. The CEO question is seen as the most critical issue for Wells Fargo, and investors will be interested in whatever Goldman has to say about the global competitive landscape in light of the cutbacks at Deutsche Bank. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. Results from Citigroup yesterday showed soft trading, but also strength in the consumer business. JP Morgan and Goldman should shed more light on the investment banking landscape today. Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore.
Yesterday's results from Citi puts a slightly darker tone going to JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs. But we have had this kind of theme of financials underperforming the broader index for a while now. It's notable that the financial subindex of the S&P 500 has not made new record highs in recent months, despite the broader index doing so. So it hasn't yet validated that move, and that's something we're watching for today.
Stay tuned for live coverage and analysis of those results as they roll in this morning.
And it is a big day as well for Facebook. A representative from that company will be on Capitol Hill this morning to defend its proposed digital currency, Libra. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Response to Facebook's plans has been almost universally skeptical, from Fed Chair Powell.
Libra raises many serious concerns.
To Treasury Secretary Mnuchin.
Libra could be misused by money launderers and terrorist financiers.
And lawmakers from both parties, including the Senate Banking Committee's top Democrat Sherrod Brown, who calls Facebook arrogant.
People don't trust Facebook right now.
That bipartisan distrust of the social networking giant will be on display as top Facebook executive David Marcus faces the Senate Banking Committee today and the House Financial Services Committee tomorrow. Marcus, in prepared remarks, pledges to work closely with regulators and governments around the globe to address their concerns. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. At the same time, Facebook's on the hot seat at a separate hearing this afternoon. Google, Amazon, and Apple will also be in attendance to answer questions about antitrust concerns in the tech industry. Ben Brody has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
I expect a lot of talk about the nature of competition and whether it's stifling, but I also expect a lot of talk about startups, venture capital. Do you start a company just so you can expect to be acquired, or because you think it's a really great idea that needs to be out there in the world that you're going to lead into the future?
And today's hearing is billed as the biggest antitrust showdown of Congress since Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates appeared before the Senate 20 years ago.
Meanwhile, we have an update on U.S.-China trade talks from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin.
Ambassador Lighthizer and I have had several conversations on China with our counterparts. We expect to have another principal-level call this week.
If those talks by phone go well, Mnuchin says he and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer may travel to Beijing for discussions. At the same time, President Trump says tariffs on Chinese goods are having their intended impact after the latest reading on China's GDP slowed to the weakest pace in 27 years.
But there's at least one company showing strength in China with results from Burberry pointing to strong sales on the mainland. Bloomberg's Joe Easton has more from London.
Burberry, they reported first quarter sales up around 4%. That's against a company compiled estimate of 2%. Notably, they say that China was particularly strong. The Asia-Pacific region in general took around a mid-teen percentage point gain, according to the company. However, it's perhaps not all positive, with analysts at Morgan Stanley among those noting that the management actually sound quite prudent in their commentary, suggesting that they're not certain in terms of volatility in the coming quarters.
And those earnings have shares of Burberry up 10% in London.
In Asia today, trading was thin, with low volumes and stocks struggling for direction. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, Japanese shares declined as traders returned from a long weekend, the Nikkei 225 finishing down 0.7% in Tokyo. Chinese shares dipped amid volumes which were about 20% lower than normal, while stocks in Hong Kong were less volatile. South Korean suppliers to Samsung surged, supporting the KOSPI, as analysts said chipmakers have a strong willingness to use locally made materials amid the trade spat with Japan. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sally. Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Turning to Europe now, we have the EU bracing for $7 billion in U.S. tariffs. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker brings us the very latest from London.
Sources tell Bloomberg Europe expects the World Trade Organization to give the U.S. the green light to hit the EU with tariffs this summer. The levies would be in response to illegal subsidies for Airbus. The Trump administration is waiting for the WTO's final decision before imposing the tariffs. The EU has a similar case pending against Boeing. In London, I'm Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thank you. S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures are down 11. NASDAQ futures up 3.5. And the 10-year Treasury little change, yield 2.09%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's find out what's happening in the world from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Democrats are planning a vote on a resolution that critics say condemns President Donald Trump's racist comments about four congresswomen of color. The proposed measure says Trump's words have legitimized an increased fear and hatred of new Americans and people of color. President Trump followed his weekend tweets about the women going back to their broken countries with remarks yesterday that they should get out of the U.S. right now.
These are people that if they don't like it here, they can leave. And I don't know who's going to miss them, but I guess some people will.
Later, the four women held a joint news conference. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York.
He tells us that I should go back to the great borough of the Bronx and make it better. And that's what I'm here to do.
Ocasio-Cortez says, I am not surprised that he uses the rhetoric he does, but I also know that we are focused. It's a rule that's seen as a blow against Planned Parenthood. The Trump administration says taxpayer-funded family planning clinics must stop referring women for abortions immediately. Con Ed says an overly sensitive relay protection system is to blame for a power failure that plunged parts of Manhattan's west side in the darkness for hours over the weekend. A utility spokesman says the system designed to detect electrical faults and keep them from spreading overreacted to a cable that had burned at West 64th Street and West End Avenue. It led to a widespread outage that knocked out lights in Times Square and Madison Square Garden. South Africa's ex-president continues his testimony before a corruption inquiry, saying he's the victim of a smear campaign. Bloomberg's Emma Umbatha has more from Johannesburg.
South Africa's former president, Jacob Zuma, rejected a slew of allegations that he aided and abetted graft during his almost 9 years in office in his first day of testimony before a judicial panel set up to probe the corruption allegations. Zuma claims he was the victim of a conspiracy by foreign and domestic intelligence agencies intent on ousting and discrediting him. In Johannesburg, I'm Khalang Bata, Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Mets had the night off, but it didn't feel like it for Yankees fans at the stadium.
Fly ball towards right field. Going back is Judge to the warning track at the wall. It's gone! A three-run homer by Travis d'Arnaud.
Rays radio, a three-home-run night for former longtime Met Travis d'Arnaud did in the Yankees to give Tampa Bay game one of the four-game series 5-4. It's not often all-star Aroldis Chapman blows a save. Yankees skipper Aaron Boone.
All of his at-bats were really good. I mean, it's kind of what we've seen from him. You know, he hurt us, obviously, down in Tampa as well. You know, obviously really good at-bats. He got a couple of fastballs and looked like in the heart of the plate that he took advantage of against Paxton. Just all night long, laying off tough pitches, spoiling pitches.
D'Arnaud's three home runs overshadowed a two-home run night for Edwin Encarnacion in a losing cause. Yankees' lead is trimmed to five games in the East. Series continues on Tuesday as C.C. Sabathia gets the call tonight opposite Ryan Stanek. Mets, they were idle, heading to first-place Minnesota, Steven Matz and Michael Pineda. Giants took a doubleheader in Colorado, outscoring the Rockies 21-3. Red Sox beat the Blue Jays, and the Dodgers clobbered the Phillies 16-2. Cody Bellinger with a pair of home runs. And sad news from the boxing world, former champ Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker was hit by a car and passed away in his home state of Virginia. He was 55 and inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame in 2006. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. In other business news this morning, a federal judge in California has given a partial victory to Bayer in a case over its Roundup weed killer. A jury awarded $80 million to a plaintiff who said exposure to Roundup caused cancer. The judge is now cutting that payment to $25 million. And Ryanair says the grounding of Boeing's 737 MAX jet will hurt its growth plans till next summer. The European discount carrier expects the plane to return to service by the end of the year. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we set you up for this morning's earnings from J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo. Bloomberg News investment reporter Shanali Bosick joins us next on Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Bank earnings continue today. Bloomberg Intelligence says Citi's equity trading miss lowers the bar for JP Morgan and maybe even more so for Goldman Sachs. For Wells Fargo, the CEO issue will play prominently in the earnings call. Jerome Powell headlines the list of Fed speakers today. He'll be in Paris speaking on post-crisis monetary policy, while four of his colleagues also make remarks. Google, Amazon, Facebook and Apple face a grilling by the House antitrust panel today. It may be the biggest showdown between Silicon Valley and DC since Bill Gates faced questions in 1998. And a sinkhole of negative-yielding emerging market debt doubled in size in a week. Data compiled by Bloomberg show outstanding sovereign and corporate bonds with sub-zero rates hit $246 billion yesterday. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures down 8, Nasdaq futures up 5. The DAX in Germany, little changed. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.09%, yield on the 2-year 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 13 cents at $59.71 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.80 to $14.1630 an ounce. The euro 1.1229 against the dollar. The yen 107.93. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats plan to vote on a resolution today that strongly condemns President Trump for his tweets, saying they can leave the country if they don't like it. The four freshman lawmakers fired back, calling the president racist and xenophobic. The Trump administration says it will immediately start enforcing its new regulation barring taxpayer-funded family planning clinics from referring women for abortions. Planned Parenthood and other family planning providers are suing, but HHS says no judicial orders stand in its way. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Red Sox won, the Giants swept a doubleheader. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak on this big morning for bank earnings. As we await second quarter results this morning from J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo, we're joined by Bloomberg News investment banking reporter Shanali Bosak. Nice to have you with us this morning, Shanali. And I guess let's begin by talking about how Citigroup's second quarter results could set up what we see today.
So Citigroup was all right yesterday. Initially, the stock rose on the reaction because the consumer results were so shiny, but the trading results were down quite a bit, and the outlook for certainty in markets was not great either. And so what we're going to be looking for today from JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo is a little bit more confidence in that trading metric, because we're expecting a drop in fixed income and in equities, but will it be that way moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, because trading revenue has got to be much more in focus for JP Morgan and Goldman particularly, rather than Citigroup. I mean, Citigroup has quite a bit more weight on the retail side, no?
That's for sure, and especially Goldman compared to J.P. Morgan. At J.P. Morgan, at least, we can look on if there's strength in the consumer business. If loans are growing at a healthy clip, people will be happy. But, you know, they also have to be growing without a lot of provisions for loan losses either.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I would imagine, tougher to grow with the expectation that the Federal Reserve is in rate-cutting mode.
Yeah, the funny thing is the uncertainty about the rates is both impacting the consumer businesses and the trading businesses. Actually, because clients aren't fully positioned for a rate cut is one reason Citigroup said the trading weakness was happening. But it's the same with just market conditions overall. People are still worried about trade wars, and that's going to continue to weigh on sentiment.
Is that a surprise that the clients might not be positioning enough for rate cuts, considering that, you know, at least a 25 basis point cut's been baked into the market for so long?
Yeah, the awkwardness about it is if you look at in the beginning part of Citigroup's earnings call yesterday, they were pretty muted on the impact that the rate cuts would have in terms of their banking revenue. But that doesn't mean clients aren't reacting to it.
Gotcha. So what can we expect in terms of cost cutting? That was a lot of the focus, particularly on Citigroup's call yesterday.
Yeah, something interesting about that from J.P. Morgan today. J.P. Morgan is investing a lot not only in technology, but also in physical branches all over the U.S. And so how their investment will balance with their expense management will be something interesting. The last couple quarters, cost cutting was a big thing among all the major banks. But how are you going to stay competitive if you don't put some money on the table?
Would you expect the restructuring from Deutsche Bank to show up in the results today in terms of how these banks position themselves now?
It's probably unlikely to show in the numbers just because the cuts at Deutsche Bank started happening last week. With that said, people started moving their balances for months. The interesting thing is Citigroup, for example, had a lot to gain because J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, they're already the number two and the number one equities trading shops. But Deutsche Bank, their exit gives a real opportunity for firms like Citigroup and Bank of America that are a little bit lower.
What about the consumer lending side? Are refis sort of overdone at this point?
That's the concern. We're going to see from J.P. Morgan, and obviously probably the most we'll see from Bank of America tomorrow. Both rates and the refi business are going to matter to a lot. And Wells Fargo today, sorry, it's a little bit later in the morning.
Yeah.
right away, what we have is J.P. Morgan in about a half an hour, a little less than that. We have Goldman Sachs by 7:30 and then Wells Fargo by 8. And so we will see a better sense of that. But there is a sense that there's a little bit of, you know, somebody had said refi burnout, where we've seen a lot of it already.
About 30 seconds left here. What are you going to be looking for most crucially in these results?
You know, it's really about the consumer this time around. That's something that's been driving the big banks. And so let's see what J.P. Morgan and Bank of America have to say about growth moving forward.
Shanali Bosak, Bloomberg News Investment Banking Report. It is going to be a very busy morning. Thanks for helping to set us up for it here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And taking a look at the markets this morning,
Yeah, traders seem to be in wait-and-see mode as well, with S&P futures little change to higher, Dow futures down but just by 7 points, and NASDAQ futures are 4.5 points higher. Price of the 10-year down 1/32, the yield 2.09%, and the 2-year Treasury is yielding 1.84%. Again, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo all reporting ahead of the open this morning. Full coverage throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 6:25 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover on the new workers of the world. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com for the global stories that matter most.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little changed this morning, a day after all three major indexes closed at record highs. European averages are also little changed, while stocks in Asia ended mostly lower.
All this before big banks report earnings today. Results from Citigroup showed soft trading in the second quarter. We get more from Bloomberg's Danny Berger.
You have to ask, is this a Citi-specific thing when it comes to trading, or is it an industry-wide thing? And the logical answer has to be industry-wide just because of what we've heard from CEOs. Back in May, Mike Corbat was warning about trading revenues. We heard others come out and say trading is going to slump in the second quarter. So certainly there seems to be some concern for the ones left to report this week.
And on tap this morning, results from J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo.
On the trade front, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says he and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer may travel to Beijing for negotiations with China. That's if talks by phone this week are productive.
A top Facebook executive will be on Capitol Hill this morning to defend the company's proposed digital currency, Libra. Ben Brody has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
There is a feeling here in Washington, D.C., that Facebook has not been responsive to the concerns, that they didn't get actually the kinds of regulations and the kinds of approvals that they needed, and they kind of went out with this splashy announcement and didn't necessarily do the work beforehand. And I think that there is a lot of concern about the company that we're seeing. And when you have that level of concern, you can't just wave it off and say, trust us.
Facebook will also appear at a hearing this afternoon, along with executives from Google, Amazon, and Apple to answer questions about antitrust concerns in the tech industry.
This morning, we get a key reading on U.S. retail sales, with economists forecasting an increase of 0.2%. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In May, retail sales advanced for the third month in a row, setting the stage for a rebound in second quarter consumer spending. Turning to June, Bloomberg Economics says lower gasoline prices may have freed up cash for spending on other goods and services. Auto sales, based on industry data, were flat. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Many thanks. In Europe, shares of luxury retailer Burberry are up 12%. Store sales rose 4%, double the rate analysts predicted.
S&P futures, again, little changed, up 1.5 points. Dow futures down 1. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany, little changed. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 2.09%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.33% or 20 cents at $59.77 a barrel. And COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3 at $14.1650 an ounce. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and the news update is brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her three allies in Congress said verbal attacks from President Donald Trump won't distract them from their agenda, as they decried his tweets as racist. Ocasio-Cortez says, "I am not surprised that he uses the rhetoric he does.
We'll stay focused on our agenda, and we won't get caught slipping, because all of this is a distraction. It's a distraction from what's most important and from our core values as American citizens."
Earlier, Trump doubled down on his tweet telling the congresswoman to go back to the countries they came from rather than criticize the government. President Trump is overshadowing the UK prime minister's race between Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt. Bloomberg's Thomas Penny has more from London.
The president's tweets telling four female US lawmakers to go back where their families came from were condemned by both candidates in the final debate of the campaign, but they dodged a question when asked if his comments were racist. Even Hunt, who has three children with his Chinese wife and said he would be utterly appalled if they were told to go back to China, shied away from using the word, saying it would not help to use such language about a close ally. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A major push is underway in the U.S. Senate to permanently fund the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Now that the House has approved the measure, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is asking Majority Leader Mitch McConnell not to hide it.
No games. Do not attach this bill to something else where it might get messed up, as it has gotten messed up in the past. Do not say that we're going to use this bill to help pass a debt ceiling or a budget or something else. That always leads to things getting messed up.
Schumer urging quick passage before Congress goes on the five-week break in August. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Con Ed says a relay protection system that should have isolated a faulty distribution cable, but didn't, led to the loss of power that darkened Manhattan for several hours over the weekend. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We're coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Not much can spoil a two-home run night for Edwin Encarnacion in front of a raucous crowd in the Bronx, except a former Met and current Ray, Travis d'Arnaud, who hit three home runs, accounting for all five runs driven in, including a three-run blast off Aroldis Chapman in the ninth, blowing the save.
He's got elite stuff. Motor just reminded me to stay short and not try to do too much, and that's all I was thinking about the whole at bat. And fortunately, I was able to get a barrel to the ball, and fortunately, we were able to take the lead right there.
The lead over Tampa Bay is cut to five games in the East. Yankees manager Aaron Boone.
I thought he threw the ball fine, and d'Arnaud did a good job of laying off of some tough pitches when Chappie was ahead in the count and finally got a mistake and finished off what was a pretty great night, obviously.
Four-game series continues tonight with the Rays sending Ryan Stanek up against C.C. Sabathia. Mets took the day off, but it gets real on Tuesday as they're in the Twin Cities to meet division-leading Minnesota at 8:10. Former Yankee Michael Pineda plays host to Steven Matz. Boston picked up a game on New York, taking down Toronto. L.A. worked over Philadelphia 16-2 as Dodger Cody Bellinger went yard twice. And San Francisco took a pair in Colorado, outscoring the Rockies 21-3. And former Hall of Fame boxer Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker was hit by a car in his home state of Virginia on Sunday, and he passed away. Whitaker was elected into the Boxing Hall of Fame in 2006 and an Olympic gold medal champion. He was 55 years of age. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
For more than four decades, U.S. law has required banks to lend fairly and equitably, without discriminating on the basis of race. So do they? If the Trump administration has its way, the world might never know. In 1975, Congress created the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, which makes lenders report data such as the race of borrowers and the type of loans made. New reporting mandates were added after the subprime lending boom of the 2000s. Unfortunately, this progress is being reversed. It started last year when Congress freed banks that made fewer than 500 loans a year from the new obligations. And now the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has proposed exempting hundreds more lenders from any reporting requirements. These changes won't save the banks much money, but they will hinder enforcement of fair lending laws. If such an about-face doesn't qualify as arbitrary and capricious, it's hard to imagine what would. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It's coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The nonprofit Nature Conservancy says it's partnered with private investors to acquire over 250,000 acres of forest land in the coal fields of Tennessee, Kentucky, and Virginia. The group said its new Cumberland Forest project is designed to not only protect the land, but also to make money through sustainable forestry, carbon offsets, recreational leases, and the eventual sale of the properties. Officials say it's a model that allows conservation at a scale impossible through philanthropy alone, bigger in this case than the five boroughs of New York City and the District of Columbia combined. The Cumberland Forest Project will not own mineral rights, so mining activities could still take place, although the Nature Conservancy expects that only on a small percentage of the land, and the group would play a role. For example, such a project would get surface damage payments from mining companies and would use that money for restoration efforts. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Some other stories we're watching this morning. In California, a federal judge has given a partial victory to Bayer in a case over its Roundup weed killer. A jury awarded $80 million to a plaintiff who alleged exposure to Roundup caused cancer. The judge is now cutting that $80 million to $25 million, but says he still found the company's behavior reprehensible. Ryanair says the grounding of the Boeing 737 MAX will hurt its growth plans till next summer. The European discount carrier expects the plane to return to service by the end of this year, but the date isn't certain. And Alphabet has unveiled an app to provide air traffic control for drones. OpenSky has been approved to manage unmanned aircraft flights in Australia. Futures, little changed ahead of the bank earnings results. We have S&P futures up a point. Dow futures, little changed, as I said. NASDAQ futures up, but just by 5 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. J.P. Morgan reports first. We'll bring you those results and check in on what's happening in the nation's capital with Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. We are watching J.P. Morgan earnings just crossing the Bloomberg. We also heard from Johnson & Johnson. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are quiet right now. Dow futures up 7 points. S&P's gained 2, and NASDAQ futures are also higher by 2. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.1%. And on the U.S. economic front, import price index and retail sales at 8:30. And at 10 o'clock, NAHB housing market index and business inventories. After the bell last night, J.B. Hunt revenue was in line. And regarding earnings this morning, like you said, J.P. Morgan just came out. Q2 EPS 282 on revenues of $29.57 billion. J&J also beat estimates and look for Goldman Sachs to report around 7:30. Wells Fargo around 8 o'clock. Wrapping things up, Freeport was upgraded to equal-weight at Barclays, Cognex downgraded to sell at Goldman Sachs, and FactSet downgraded to underweight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, four freshman lawmakers fired back at President Trump, calling him racist for tweets against them. Trump doubled down on his attack, saying they can leave the country if they don't like it. NASA says last month was the hottest June on record and is on track for the warmest July. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Red Sox won, the Giants swept a doubleheader. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up to 6:49 on Wall Street. And as we've been reporting, earnings from J.P. Morgan Chase are crossing the Bloomberg terminal as we speak. Let's dig into these results as they come down. Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Financial Services Analyst Allison Williams is with us now. The top headline, the bank is boosting or is met its second quarter revenue analyst estimate. What is your reaction here?
Well, we're still looking for the net interest margin, which is the key metric that we're focusing on this quarter. as well as many others, I suppose. But from the headline numbers, looks like a revenue beat. My guess is that includes a gain from Tradeweb. That was something that was anticipated, but may not be factored into estimates. Equity trading looks like a miss. We had sort of shades of that yesterday with Citigroup's miss. Obviously, JP Morgan is a much bigger competitor, so I think that's more important read for the industry. Banking fees also look like they're coming in a little bit light.
We're seeing the shares go up just a touch in the pre-market on the headlines that we've just gotten. What will you be looking for from net interest income?
So the key for net interest income, obviously, we're going to look at what the metric was in the quarter. We are looking for, consensus is looking for some contraction, but obviously the important thing is going to be what the drivers are, what's happening with deposit costs, what's happening with loan yield, and what's happening with the guidance.
And as we continue to watch the headlines, JP Morgan cutting its year view on net interest income. Is the bank sort of lowering expectations here?
Well, I would say that it would be expected for them to lower their view on net interest income. They sort of had kept their view last quarter when a couple banks brought those expectations down. The environment has obviously worsened significantly since they've reported the last quarter when, if we look back at sort of the end of April after last quarter's report, analysts were still looking for, maybe flat margins this quarter. That turned to contraction. That obviously seems fitting with the rate environment. So the question now is going to be, as they bring down this guidance, what is being factored in for rate cuts? So Citigroup reaffirmed their guidance yesterday, but they're only factoring in one rate cut sort of late in the year. That's obviously not in line with market expectations. So I think the view is that there could be perhaps some risk there.
Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Financial Services Analyst Allison Williams, thank you for the breaking insights as we continue to digest the headlines from JP Morgan as they continue to cross the Bloomberg terminal. Switching from earnings to politics now, coming up to 6:52 on Wall Street, we check what's happening in D.C., where some of the top stories in our nation's capital include tech in focus, with the Senate Banking Committee looking into Facebook's cryptocurrency plans, along with a Judiciary Subcommittee focusing on alleged censorship in Google search results. Four tech giants, in fact, are going to appear before a House antitrust panel today in a hearing hearkening back to Bill Gates' appearance at the height of the dot-com boom. And Acting Defense Secretary Mark Esper has a confirmation hearing today for a Pentagon that hasn't had a permanent leader in months. Also making news, of course, the tweets from President Trump aimed at four progressive Democrats. The House today votes on a resolution to condemn that tweet storm that continued into yesterday. For more on all this, we're joined by Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist, AGF Investments. The firestorm seems to show no sign of ebbing from these tweets. Greg, what do you see happening?
Well, I think there's two reasons, Nathan, why we're seeing the president engage in this war. Number one, he's got Mueller hearings next week, and I'm hearing that they could be explosive and damaging from at least a PR standpoint from the White House, so I think the president would like a distraction. Secondly, I think he feels that he could get the Democrats unified, and by doing that, he could portray the entire party as socialist, far on the left. I think this is part of his positioning to get a great foil for the next campaign.
Is there a risk that the president turns off middle-of-the-road voters with a strategy like that?
Absolutely. And I think even Republicans, who have, of course, been very timid, are starting to get quite angry over being ambushed and over the things that Trump is saying. Hard to think there's going to be a credible challenger for his nomination. I think that, Mitt Romney still has the itch. He's 72 and fit and sharp. But I don't see anyone really challenging Trump. You know, the other big implication here is that for Pelosi and the Democrats in the House, they, I think, will be emboldened. And what did we see last night? Nancy Pelosi told Treasury Secretary Mnuchin that she's not interested in his deal on the debt ceiling. So this crisis is going to continue.
Interesting to loop that in to the conversation here. How do you see the debt ceiling debate, the debt ceiling argument playing out with, you know, less than 2 weeks, at least Pelosi says, before, you know, serious action could be taken?
You know, it's so complicated. It could take an hour to explain all of the machinations. I'd say the bottom line is this. It's going to be really rocky. We're not close to a deal yet. We may go into September without one, and we could come days within having the U.S. default on debt. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think to get a deal, Pelosi will demand and win more spending.
Al Green, Democrat from Texas, is saying that he's going to put up impeachment articles again, not on what was laid out in the Mueller probe, but on what he sees as bigotry affecting U.S. policy. Where is that going? Does that have a chance of going anywhere in this House?
I don't think so. I think as long as Pelosi holds the line and says, look, this could backfire on us, just as it backfired on Gingrich and the Republicans against Bill Clinton, you know, why go there? So I think that there'll be hearings on a wide range of Trump alleged infractions, whether it's his finances, his taxes, but I think an actual impeachment drive in the House would certainly fail in the Senate.
You mentioned the Mueller hearing next week, saying it could be explosive. What makes you think that, given that the former special counsel has said that any testimony he gives is likely not to deviate from his report?
Well, I don't think it'll deviate, but people on the committee will ask him about all of these instances that he saw that could have added up to obstruction. And I think since Mueller did not clear Trump of obstruction, that's going to be a dominant theme.
Only a minute left here. So much to talk about, but I have to ask you about the state of play in the Democratic race now that all the candidates have reported their second quarter fundraising.
Yeah, I think Biden has righted the ship. He's a shaky front runner. I'd be the first to concede. You know, Kamala Harris looks a little stronger. So does Elizabeth Warren. But I think for now, Biden is still the front runner. But there's a long, long way to go. We have more debates coming up later this month. It's still his to lose, but he could lose it.
Even with Pete Buttigieg, the front runner in terms of fundraising itself in the second quarter?
Yeah, I think there's a sense that Mayor Pete has his own problems in South Bend that may be distracting for him. And I think people are focusing on the fact that he's 37. That's a little young.
Mm-hmm. Greg Valliere, AGF Investments Chief U.S. Policy Strategist, thanks as always for being with us. And Karen, more results from J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, we continue to watch this stock this morning. It started out higher to little change, now falling down 1.7%. It did report second quarter equity sales and trading revenue that missed analyst estimates, and investment banking revenue also missed. And we continue to watch the earnings cross the Bloomberg and to analyze the numbers. They'll continue to do that on Bloomberg Surveillance, which, of course, is straight ahead right here on Bloomberg Radio. Johnson & Johnson, we're also watching those shares up 0.9% right now. It boosted its full-year sales forecast. And we continue to watch earnings this morning. We'll also be hearing from Goldman Sachs and Wells Fargo. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. Straight ahead for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.